And welcome back to Speak Up Las Cruces. We are going to lighten things up a little bit after all that talk about death and destruction and war, and talk about something much more pleasant, and that is, of course, our Oregon Mountains Desert Peaks National Monument. We're speaking with Bill White, the Public Information Officer for the local BLM region. Bill, thanks so much for joining us.
Hey, it's been a hot minute since I've been here behind the mic. Thanks for having me again, and I wanted to come out here this morning and let all the listeners know here in Las Cruces of the things we're going to do here at the Bureau of Land Management for the month of December.
Yeah, I think, you know, most areas of the country, December is kind of thought of as the off season, but not here in southern New Mexico, where we are not digging ourselves out of the snowstorms and going through all the other miserable weather that everybody else is. So we have opportunities throughout the winter that other folks don't have. And so let's talk a little bit about those.
It's one of the reasons I moved here.
Me too.
But, you know, we stuffed ourselves over Thanksgiving holiday, so this is what a good opportunity now going into December to just get out and take a hike, work off some of those unwanted pounds. Well, this Sunday, December the 7th, from 1 to 3, out at La Cueva, our BLM archaeologist Garrett is going to lead it's a small one-mile hike tour to the La Cueva Rocks. La Cueva Rock Shelter and back, and he's going to give you a conversation, a talk while you're hiking there about the local ethnobiology and how the indigenous connections of the plant life are to the monument. And that's going to be this Sunday. Now, next Saturday, December the 13th, is a real big – we've got three events taking place on that Saturday. From 9 to 12, you can join BLM paleontologist Colin Dunn. He's going to give a moderate hike to the discovery site out there at the Prehistoric Trackways National Monument. And, you know, that's the first site of the earth. We call it discovery site because it's the first excavation of the Permian Age mega trackways that occurred here. And, of course, I like it because how often do you get to walk on the ocean floor?
Right.
Because, 280-some million years ago, this area was underwater. Mm-hmm. So you can actually walk on where the ocean floor was. And that's a good 3-mile round-trip hike to learn about the geology and paleontology of that monument. And then at 10 a.m. Saturday, December the 13th, you can come out to the Donana Mountain parking area. And you can join Don. He's going to do a guided mountain bike hike. And you can learn all about the monument there along the ride, and that'll be about 3 to 6 miles depending on the abilities of those in attendance. And then also Saturday from 1 to 4, I can't emphasize this enough, we have a wonderful friends group that works with us, the Friends of the Oregon Mountain Desert Peaks, and they're Tom Dormandy is going to be giving a hike at Pina Blanca. And he's going to talk about the different plants and geology of the landscape and how it sustained the indigenous people here from past generations. And it's about a 4-mile round trip, and you have to RSVP, though, for their hikes. And you can go to OregonMountainsDesertPeaks.org and sign up for that hike. And that's just the first half of December.
Yeah.
Wow. No, as you say, that sounds really exciting. Because the last time you were here, we were talking about something entirely different and cleaning up, right, some place out.
Kilmore Hole.
Yes, we had the weather got to us on that one, and the big rains we had.
Yeah, that was crazy.
We've postponed that, and we're looking at trying to do that sometime again in April. And I'll be back with more information when we finalize all the details.
But that's a good point. This was by far the wettest summer we've had since I've been here. What impact has that had out on the monument? Is dripping springs, does that
We saw a lot more water flow, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Usually every time I go out there, I can't find any water.
Exactly.
If you don't go after a rain shower, because it only runs for so long. But, we had to postpone that because of the water was so high.
But I would think the vegetation and everything out there has got to be just amazing. I haven't been out there.
Oh, it's green.
Yeah,
it is green,
exactly.
green. Actually, I'm looking forward. I'm thinking maybe we might get some more poppies back.
Yes.
So.
Like I said, this was the wettest summer that since I've been here.
Hopefully we have a mild winter. Yeah.
That would be nice.
Of course, I would love to see some snow. I mean, I've been a couple years since I've seen snow.
Mm-hmm.
One little dusting here didn't satisfy my appetite.
Right.
Yeah. But for the half of the going into back to the hikes, for the last half of December. We're going to have we're fortunate that we partnered with Brannigan Memorial Library, and they've been doing over the summer and the fall, they've been doing a actual pop-up mobile bookmobile at Dripping Springs. And so the last one for the year is going to be December the 17th. That's a Wednesday from 11 to 1. So not only can you come out to Dripping Springs and take a hike, you know, but you can also stop by the bookmobile. You can check out a book. You can return a book. You can ask the questions. Or you can get your library card.
Right.
You know, so it's a really, really good opportunity to come out there and see the mobile bookmobile. And that's from 11 to 1, Wednesday the 17th. Now, the Friends Group on Saturday, the 20th of December, is going to have a guided hike out at Dripping Springs. And Tom Dormady is going to lead you on a guided hike there. It's about 3 miles round trip, a very light hike there. He's going to talk about the ethnobotany of Dripping Springs. And stick around for that one, because I've heard from the grapevine there's going to be a nice, sweet, festive treat after your trek. So you do have to RSVP for that one as well at the Friends site. That's OregonMountainDesertPeaks.org. Be aware that they don't actually throw the RSVPs up until a few days before the event, so just keep checking back. You know, you want to be first. Kind of reminds me when you're sitting there trying to get those concert tickets.
Yeah, on the radio.
You know, you're clicking, yeah. You know, when it comes up and you click the computer like 60,000 times and you still haven't got into the queue yet to win the tickets. So just remember to RSVP that and check back and closer to the date. Now, the last hike of the year for the Friends Group is going to be December the 27th, and that's going to be 9 to 12. And you'll form up at the La Cueva parking area, because Don is going to take you on a hike on the backside of La Cueva to Fillmore Canyon. A lot of people don't realize that the trail at Dripping Springs will go all the way around back to behind the monument, so to speak, and it ends up over at Fillmore Canyon. But he's going to talk to you about the historical highlights of the monument, as well as a little history sidebar on the Modoc Mine. A lot of people don't realize we had a silver mine that's sitting in the middle of the monument. Of course, it's inactive and sealed off. But, you know, it's a 2.5 mile round trip, moderate hike there that is going to be Saturday, 27th of December from 9 till noon. And to kick off the end of the year, you know, why not just bike into the sunset on the 28th of December? That's Sunday morning, 9 o'clock. Don's going to take you on a guided mountain bike ride once again at Dona Ana Mountains. And so, you know, in the year, if you can start out hiking to work off those pounds, and at the end of the year, just bike right on going into the new year. So those are the events we've got coming up, and I always like to plug the fact that, you know, follow us on our Facebook page. That's the Bureau of Land Management, Las Cruces District Office. And you don't have to have an account. I would love for people to follow us. The more, the better. But all the calendar events is posted there. Of course, I've shared it with you guys, and y'all have shared it on your site as well. But that's what we have for guided hikes and programs for the month of December.
Yeah, that's terrific. That's all being organized through the Friends Group. Is that correct?
Well, the Friends help us, you know. Yeah. And primarily their docent program is phenomenal, because we've got, without them, we wouldn't be able to put on a lot of these hikes that we have for the year, you know, because, you know, Colin and Garrett are subject matter experts in their fields, and they put on one or two, a couple, and, you know, we've got some of our biologists that do some every so often, but without the Friends Group, it's very difficult for us to put a good thing out there for recreational for the community.
Sure.
Well, right, and we've had folks on from Visit Las Cruces as well, right, who've talked about, like, providing that information about doing, you know, not if you don't have the opportunity to go on any of these guided tours, doing stuff on their own. So what are the opportunities? So somebody can't make it out. Is there any hikes that, that, you know, if I have a free Saturday or something, or a free what can I look forward to?
Well, these are guided hikes. If you don't want a guide, you know, the monument's always open, you know, because it's your lands. It's public. I always say that. It's your lands. It's public lands. It's not BLM lands, you know. So it's always open, and we have maps available, and you can download those, or you can pick up the brochure to follow along. And the trails that we have on our monument are real easy to follow. And so just take a time, go out there and enjoy yourself.
Yeah, it is. Of those hikes, can you talk a little bit about which ones might be more appropriate for people who are, you know, not avid hikers, and which are the more challenging ones?
The easiest trail that we have, in my, this is my opinion, would have to be Dripping Springs, because it is very, it's kind of a level, low grade hike. Some of the other ones, we kind of, in the summertime, we pushed the boundary a little bit with some of the more arduous hikes that were very more difficult on a scale of 1 to 5. They probably register about a 4. Mm-hmm. So we've kind of scaled that back a little bit over our hiatus now going into the end of the year to kind of end the year with some light hikes. Most of these hikes are really light and moderate. Okay. Trackways, of course. So you go up a hill, you go down a hill, you go up a hill and down a hill, but they're very graduate. It's very easy to hike. Those two areas are really, really good. Pina Blanca, of course, you know, you're going to have a little bit of rocky trails to go over, but the views are fantastic. I mean, that's one of the things I enjoy about living here in Las Cruces is those mountains change color, the hues, every single day. Sometimes you'll see them change color 3 times a day.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah,
you know, it is amazing what we have here to offer people. And it's enough to get you want to get out and just commune with nature, really.
And I think one of the nice things about these organized hikes is they get people into parts of the monument other than just the Dripping Springs and around the visitor center where, you know, people tend to gravitate. That's the obvious place.
That's the obvious place. And most people don't realize there's a campground, a Geary Spring campground, which is on the backside of the peaks. And there is a pine loop trail, a hiking trail. It's pretty good hiking through the forest. That's what I call it because that's where the tallest trees are.
It's what we've got for forest.
But, you know, that's a pretty good challenging trail itself, and most people don't realize that that's over there. You know, you can pitch a tent and camp there or have a picnic, take the hike, you know. There's a lot of trails. Just get out and explore.
Yeah.
We've got we do a lot of more biking and equestrian riding even. You know, people ride horses over in the Dona Ana Mountains. A lot of people get out and do recreational shooting on BLM lands. And, you know, there's just so much recreational stuff that we've got to offer here. And those peaks are the biggest drawing card. I am fortunate that they're here because it actually keeps me gainfully employed.
Of course, yes.
Well, you mentioned the campground, and I know initially when I heard about all this camping happening here, and I was like, and we need more space. I was like, well, I had no idea. But during this season, do we see still lots of people going out camping, or does it does it die off a little bit just because of the weather?
I call them snowbirds.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Those are the people that avoid the snowy areas and come here during the wintertime.
Oh. You know, okay.
With their RVs and they camp out, you know, because you can camp on BLM land up to 14 days, you know, and then you have to move
somewhere else.
50 miles from where you were.
Right. Okay.
But then, you know, our campground, of course, people come and you can pitch tents. You know, there's not many places for RVs. Most of the RV parking is usually along Boulder Canyon Road or in and around over Prehistoric Trackways National Monument and even at Sierra Vista leading into Dripping Springs. You know, we've got a lot of off the road, so to speak, areas where you can park and camp.
Dispersed, right?
That's, dispersed, yes. Dispersed camping, as we call it.
Yeah. And that's the 14-day limit.
That's the 14-day limit, yeah.
Right, right. Can you talk a little – am I right that the monument stayed open, you know, throughout the government shutdown?
We did keep the monument open. We did not shut down any of our facilities. One thing to let the listeners know is please remember to be cognizant when you're out on public lands because – the facilities that we have to be maintained by us now. You know, we don't have a contractor to come in and clean up the vault toilets and take out the trash. Our rangers are doing double duty, so to speak.
Yeah.
During the shutdown, we were fortunate enough to keep one or two rangers active. So once a week, they actually went around to all the sites and had to clean up the vault toilets and had to take out the trash, you know. So just be more cognizant, you know, the take care of what your eyes are taking in. Keep it beautiful and pristine, you know. Help us out.
That's what I was going to say. I think for the vast, vast majority of Las Cruces, that is something that we treasure and that we certainly don't want to take any role in diminishing or, you know. So I would hope that people would get that message, and I would think that they would. You're always going to have, and it only takes one to spoil it.
It only takes one. That's exactly right. It really does. You know, I also wanted to put out a plug for the need for a lot of what we do, we can't do without volunteers.
Right.
You know, we need volunteers. And
so for what kind of things?
So whether it's day hosts, you know, for a couple hours a day, you know, manning a visitor center, you know, these docents that with the Friends Group, they're volunteers.
Mm-hmm.
We have our site hosts, you know, because we're limited staff. You know, we don't have but maybe a handful of rangers to cover 5.4 million acres across six counties here in southern New Mexico. And that's saying a lot. Our law enforcement is spread thin as well. We only have three. But volunteers for recreation really is what we rely on. And we have what's called volunteer site hosts, meaning that you volunteer for several months to live at the site.
Yeah, I actually thought about doing that once.
I mean, it is phenomenal. Once I officially retire, me and my wife consider getting our own RV and just going for 6 months out of the year staying at one of these sites, because, you know, volunteer site host has a lot of responsibilities, you know, and we're in desperate need right now for one at another place that's very off the beaten path. It's called Lake Valley. That's a historic township about 30 miles drive from Hatch, you know, on the other upper side of Doniana County. And it is a iconic destination here in the Southwest because it is one of the top premier ghost towns of southern New Mexico.
Lake Valley,
yes, because see, Lake Valley is a it's in the foothills of the Black Range. During the 1880s, that was it when it reached its height and its peak. There's about 5,000 people that lived there, so it's a little town, little community. And we fully restored several buildings when we took control of management of that land. And there's a chapel out there from the 1800s. You can go in and see the chapel. And we've converted a 19th century schoolhouse that's out there. And you can see how school was like back in the 19th century. And what amazed me when I first went out there was a flag sitting in a corner. It had 48 stars on it. I pulled it out and I counted the stars.
Right.
I'm like, wow. Usually you see those behind glass or in a museum, but there's one that you can literally reach out and touch. A lot of history out there, and volunteers run that. We have a site host that actually is almost like a ranger. You have the duties of a ranger, and you're supposed to actually maintain the property and do some minor maintenance, and you're the voice out there. You answer questions and deal with the public. And we have need for a site host because unavoidably things happen. And our site host we had had to leave. Mm-hmm. And so we can't staff it. And as a result, we've had to close the chapel and the schoolhouse effective today.
Okay.
But the site still remains open, so you can go and walk around because it's a self-guided tour.
Right, right.
You know.
About how far a drive is it from
us? About, you know, 30 minutes from here. It's not too far.
Like I said, I've lived here 22 years. I've
really?
Never heard of that. Yeah.
Oh, you've got to go out there and take a look at it, you know.
Yeah, I do.
Because it's on the New Mexico National Register of Historic Places.
Okay, yeah.
excuse me. But like I said, we had the need for volunteers, and you know, the site host is actually needed. And once we get a site host, we'll open up those buildings back up.
Right.
The site host is basically a volunteer. Your primary duty is you're the caretaker of the site and provide information to the public. You know, it's where else can you actually enjoy the beauty? I mean, you're out there in the Chihuahuan Desert yourself.
Yeah.
Out there, and at nighttime, there's no lights. You know, it's beautiful stars. I've been out there at night when we had Halloween events, you know.
Right. Yeah, so, of course, for the ghost town. Yeah.
Yep. So, you know, it's we've stabilized and renovated numerous structures. There's still more out there. You know, there's an old Sunoco gas station that we're trying to revitalize. There's lots of things you can get out there. But this is a six-month position, and so you're volunteer up to – it's your opportunity to volunteer. And, you know, you perform some duties. You're basically a caretaker. You are reimbursed. So if you do it by yourself, it's you're reimbursed $27 a day.
Okay.
If it's a couple, it's $39 a day because you get $12 for the second person. And that's just a little stipend, but you are out there living. There's a full RV hookup out there, washer and dryer, right. Refrigerator, and a storage shed available there. So you bring your RV and you can live out. You're living out there.
No, yeah.
And one of the things about it is that you're 35 minutes away from civilization, as you call it, for modernization. But you get 2 days off a week, so you're only working from Thursday through Sunday.
Sure, you get Monday and Tuesday.
Wednesday through Sunday. You get Monday and Tuesday, or is it Tuesday, Wednesday? I'm not sure yet what they're going to do, whether it's Monday, Tuesday, or Tuesday, Wednesday. It varies depending on each volunteer's schedule. Once you're selected and interviewed, they'll work out the arrangements. But we keep the visitor center there open on 4 days a week, 5 days a week. And so you get 2 days off to actually go leave the site and do your shopping, to do whatever. There's no Wi-Fi out there, so... That's another beauty too.
I was going to say, some people would see
you want to fall off. You want to fall off the grid. That's a perfect place to fall off the grid. You know,
like I said, I really
unless you bring your own router and that. So,
yeah, there was a site in Wyoming that my friends and I gave some thought to doing that for a summer. But just because you're living in paradise, I mean, and you're doing work every day that you appreciate. You know, you're trying to make that a better place.
And our volunteers and site hosts, they're trained. You know, we give you CPR training, first aid training. You also get UTV driving certification because there's a vehicle out there to be used for going around the site, so you're not having to use your own vehicle, as well as other training throughout the year. From various speakers and local groups. You know, we have the good cooperation with the Dona Ana Search and Rescue, as well as the New Mexico Historical Society. So you're getting some training, you're getting some more knowledge as well while you're out there volunteering. And like I said, we can't do what we do without volunteers. Yeah. And so how do you apply? I guess that's the next question. Go to a site called, it just opened up today, because after our little shutdown, the person who was able to put these things online,
right,
they're not with us anymore. Yeah. So there went the access, but we got access back. Good. And as of today, it's open back up. It's volunteer.gov.
Okay.
And you'll just punch in there Lake Valley, or you can put in New Mexico, and it'll come up, and you can click more information, and there's an application button that you can go there, and you can just click on that application button and fill out the information. Or if you would like, you can also contact John Haynes. Email him at jhaynes@blm.gov, and he'll be happy to help you out with that and give you more information or take your application that way as well. But that's where you actually go to. And we'll have all this information I spoke about updated later today on our Facebook page with the actual link to volunteer.gov.
We are down to our last couple minutes. This is a little bit off topic. Are you involved at all in the proposed land swap? And is there anything at all you can say between the BLM and the state land office?
Well, the state land office has entered in a land exchange with the BLM. There were some public hearings that the state land office held Right now, the BLM portion, we're doing our environmental assessment, and we're hoping to have that completed sometime before the first of the year. There'll be more information coming out to where we will update people and allow them to make the final comments online through e-planning, and that'll take place sometime around first of April is what we're looking at our portion of it. This is a kind of a land swap. Most people, the state land office does this, and it takes not quite a number of years to get one of these done because if you're offering me an apple and I got an orange, well, the values got to equal the same, you know. So
that's
why you've got most of the parcels of what the state land office is looking at is here in predominantly in Donana County because that's where the dollar value is. And most of the land they're looking at is for expansion, commercial expansion, in and around the airport, in and around at Santa Teresa, the crossing. Those are the areas of where they're looking for the land to acquire from the BLM. And we are asking the state office for the land in exchange in and around the monument to help continue a buffer for this monument. If you ever looked at one of those maps, it's like a checkerboard. You got yellow and blue and pink, and you know, it's all...
I always say it's not like a checkerboard because a checkerboard has
symmetry. Symmetry, symmetry to it.
Yeah, and organization and sense. A checkerboard makes sense. What we have is like if you throw a bunch of spaghetti in the air and wherever it lands, that's what you get.
Kind of like a bunch of different colored jacks. You know, remember the game you throw the jacks up in the air? But that's what it is, so...
And so the idea of land swaps is not something new. And
it's not.
It's a very... I don't want to get into the whole thing, but at the time the state was founded, the federal government issued state land throughout the state, and that is what is being swapped for the federal land. And I don't want to get into that whole big thing, but I guess all I wanted into it, typically those kind of swaps work out to the benefit of both sides.
They do. Yeah. Here locally, Las Cruces, the Mesa Verde High School, the land that it sits on, the land that Centennial High School sits on, those used to be BLM lands that were given to the state for, you know, as part of a land swap. So it's a win-win. Hopefully it'll happen.
Yeah, we are down to our last minute. What else haven't we asked you about? What else do you want to let people know about before we wrap it up?
Just to come on out and get your recreation on.
Yeah,
on the monument. You know, the more people we have, the more numbers we count, the better it's going to be able to keep our monument open. You know, we need you to come out there, and we need volunteers to help out too. If you don't want to volunteer, Lake Valley. Send John an email. We always need volunteers at Dripping Springs. We need volunteers at Three Rivers Petroglyphs area out in Tularoso. So help us support you. You know, we manage the land, but it's your public lands.
That's exactly right. Well, Bill, thanks so much for coming on.
It's always a pleasure. Good to be here.